Thank you. May be seated. Beautiful day to come to the house of the Lord and worship the Lord therein. Many things the Lord has left unsaid in His Word. He's just given us a little idea of the future. And even with the end-time prophet, we had very, very little knowledge of what the millennium and the future holds forth in the new creation. We just don't know, but I've often thought how important the millennium must be in the light of the fact that even though many will come in the white throne judgment, they will have missed it, and they won't be part of the bride. It's a great privilege to hear the word of the Lord and know that at least we've come this far to try to make our calling and election sure. We've not turned down the word of the Lord, as so many people have done in this age. Now, on Wednesday night, this last Wednesday, I brought a message on righteousness and unrighteousness, which is one of two messages relative to the same theme of the church being deceived into the worship in an antichrist system. And so I want to continue this morning with the message, All Deceivableness of Unrighteousness. And the reading will be found in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses 8 to 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. And before we read, shall we pray once more? Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to be here, to worship together, to study Thy Word, O God, to know what the Word says, and in many places to apply it to ourselves. Even though in some cases we can only apply it by faith, we simply believe it. There's nothing we can do about it. We just believe it. And so, Lord, we praise You that we have Your Spirit this morning, and we have the revelation which was vindicated to go by, and there need not therefore any man stumble or falter or have any problem in this area whatsoever. But, Lord, lest Satan would trick us or deceive us some way or the thoughts of our mind, yet in the way we pray that You will have right away this morning, and by Your Spirit, Lord, that You would be so gracious to take every spirit in captivity and every thought in every person's mind, so that word, the giving of the word and the hearing might be one with Thee, O God. Then, Lord, we know everything is going to be just fine. So we dedicate ourselves to this morning, believing You have heard and answered our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In the 8th verse, it says, Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and destroy with the brightness His coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. The 10th verse, of course, is the text. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, there just positively is no language like the language of the Bible. Many students have marveled at the beauty of it, the history, the poetry, and the law, the Psalms. All of these things are beautiful. But as I read this, I marvel again at the language of Scripture, because it is so descriptive, as it says, all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. It somehow makes you feel the awful depth of rebellion and treachery that has come into the church, wherein it ends up worshiping the devil. Now, notice, first of all, it speaks of deception. And then it says the deception has to do with unrighteousness. There's where the deception lies. It puts them both together so that this becomes the trap that leads to the actual worship of Satan by the church. Now, I want you to notice that carefully, what I said, that this scripture here tells us what the actual trap is, the end-time trap that leads the Christian church into an antichrist religion and an antichrist worship system. Now, we must get this straight at the very offset, that this is the church. Now, it's not communism, as many people would have us believe. Neither is it a civic or federal or an international government by political and military forces, although that could be involved. It is the church in a complete takeover, and that's according to the Bible. the church in a complete takeover, and she herself worshiping the devil through a church system. Now listen carefully. How? Just like when the devil got into the Jews in the days of Jesus. Now here's your key. That's a direct quote from Brother Branham. Just like when the devil got into those Jews in the days of Jesus. And you notice what he said in John 8:44. You are of your father the devil and the lust. Actually, that word is too strong. Although it's a good word. It's pleasures. And the pleasures of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now this was a religious system when the devil got into those Jews in the days of Jesus, and is going to repeat again according to what Brother Branham taught us. Now furthermore, you may also notice it's a church because of 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. And in verse 3, it says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except to come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You will notice there has to be a falling away. And there can be no falling away until, first of all, a lofty position has been attained or achieved. There can be no falling or going away from a point unless the people have been there in that point to begin with. So how can there be a falling away from God, as I expressed on Wednesday night, unless first of all they have been with God or recognized, in other words, God has recognized them and they have recognized Almighty God. Now furthermore, you will notice in the 10th verse, it says that they might be saved. Now there is absolutely no institution in this world given to us whereby we might be saved outside of the church. Now I speak in the highest understanding of this word church. Now we'll go first of all to 1 Corinthians the 12th chapter and in verse 13 it says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now notice, we're baptized into one body. And it says we've been made to drink into one Spirit. Now over in Romans, the 8th chapter, and in verse 9, just taking a segment of it, the last half, it says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. See? Now with this, we run to Ephesians, the 1st chapter, and verses 22 to 23. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, if you belong to Christ, then you are a member of the church. You have to be. And if you are a member of the church, speaking in the highest terms now of the Scripture, then you have to belong to Jesus Christ. So therefore, the only soul-saving institution there is the church, speaking in terms of the true church. So therefore, you can see that if this is the instrument of salvation that God has ordained, the channel which he uses, it is this same group that absolutely falls away. Notice also in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verses 1 to 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Now notice the terminology. He doesn't just speak, he speaks expressly. And that is, he is pinpointing the very era or the very time that this certain thing will take place of which he's speaking. That in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now this isn't witchcraft. He's speaking of the church. Now many times, because we see witchcraft, and a denial of those things which are truly relevant to the bride, originally, from the original word, we say, well, all right, that belongs in a certain group that never had a part. Now, that's not true. It's speaking that they will depart. Now, you can't depart unless you're in a certain place. Now, when you leave that place, you've gone away. Now, he's speaking here of departing from the faith. And there's only one faith, and that's the revealed Word. See? Now, these groups that people try to place this on never did have the Word. See? Now, he said here, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding abstain from meats, which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing be refused if it receiveth thanksgiving, and so on. And now, he goes on to say here, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer, and if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith. You see, you can't separate faith from words. And of a good doctrine, good teaching which thou hast attained. And he goes on and tells him these various things that will be in the church. Now with this also, we read 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 and 9. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Brother Branham spoke of the last days as a repeat of all diabolical cunning. Now notice it doesn't say that the first days are perilous. Many people look back on the history of the church in the days when there was the lion and the ox, the two faces, or the two beasts, the two living creatures. And in there we see troublous times, and people were being sacrificed by the thousands, and the most horrible types of destruction were heaped upon them. But those were not called perilous times. See? This end time is a perilous time. Perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. Now notice again, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now that's what Jesus said about these Jews in the 8th chapter, John, the 4th chapter, that 44th verse. He said that you will, the pleasures or the lusts of your father you'll do. The word is pleasures. Notice, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now they're denying the power which is in the Word, because no word of God is void of power. The Word of God is creative. See, they've turned away from that Word. Now, with that thought in mind, as you begin to read verses 2, 3, 4 again, you will see that these words do not describe what many people think they describe, which is a tremendous outward appearance of unrighteousness. See? Now, keep those words in mind, because we're dealing with the thought of unrighteousness, and it's the deceivableness therein. See? Now, these words in themselves seem to be harsh, strong words of an outward manifestation of gory sin. But it's not so, because it says they've got a form of godliness, so therefore these words are describing a spiritual condition. Now, never forget that everything is a substance and a shadow. See? Now, only in this world do we have a shadow. And that's the best we can use in order to attain to any knowledge of a substance. Now, these words, then, will be literally describing the true substance, which is a spiritual impact. So keep that in mind. These words have a spiritual connotation. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, Miss Baptist, Miss Presbyterian, Miss Oneness, Miss Tunis, Miss Reed, and so on, led away with divers pleasures. See? Now remember, the pleasure is a spiritual form of worship. You hold on to that, see? Now watch. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, what has got to do then with lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers? How do you ever do that and come to a knowledge of the truth? You don't. What you're doing is you're seeking a worship form to reach God, and all of these things are in there, and they're related to us in the shadow form, which many people just think, oh, this is the mafia or some bunch of terrible criminals that are doing terrible. No. Not at all. It's the church. Perilous times. See? Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. See, there you got it. It's a spiritual picture of what God looks down at the end time church and sees their utter perfidy and rottenness. But they're going on seeking God and never coming to the truth. When the real thing comes along, they will stand the vindicated office of the prophet, just like Jannes and Jambres. Hail, fellow well met. And God looks down, just like Jesus did. Now remember, He said, you tithe and mint and anise and cumin. And He said, these things you ought to do, but not leave the weightier matters undone. Then He cursed them for believing contrary to the revealed truth. See? And to them, they were fornicators, murderers, and rotten. We've got the same thing right here. Now you watch them going down the street. They're not robbing the bank and holding up the drugstore. No. Nice bunch of people. You see what picture we're trying to drive at? You've got to see this or you will never understand the Antichrist system. And you'll never understand why Brother Branham loved the people in it, but hated the system. See? Now, perilous days are coming. And remember, it's in the perilous days that Jannes and Jambres take the authority and leadership. They're the front boys for old Pharaoh. Now, we've got a bunch of front boys for the Pharaoh system right today. Now, you understand that. You haven't been in the message that long to not to see it. All right. We might go a little further here to 1 John and the just a couple of verses. I think the second chapter, 18 to 19. Little children, it's the last time. And as ye have heard, Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it's the last time. They went out from us. There you are. What did they go out from? They went out from reality on the grounds of their own unreality. They differed in the revelation of the Word. That's exactly why they always go out. See? Now notice, they no doubt would have continued with us, but they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. The manifestation then is the departure from the truth. It is not those vile things that we read here as though they were truly vile things being committed. It's the spirit behind it. See? You follow it now? Let's get a bird's eye view how God looks upon this thing. Now, if you don't get the bird's eye view how God looked, you'll never understand why the prophet said, I indict this generation. Because this generation is coming closest to the real thing there ever was, which is a unity and a dynamism in the Holy Ghost. But it lacks the revelation. You follow me? Yeah, just get the picture, see? Now, notice also, it said they went out with their own word and ways of worship. And what does John call them? He calls them Antichrist. Okay? 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and verses 2 and 3, it says, But I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Not just a virgin, but a chaste virgin. See? But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, now notice now, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. See? Now this is the danger. The corruption of the processes of spiritual learning. And there is no spiritual learning apart from the illuminated word which the mind receives. Because remember, salvation is by faith. Enoch walked with God by faith and was not because the Lord took him. And two cannot walk together unless they be agreed. See? You got the very same statement in Spoken Word's original seed that the bride becomes so much the Word in order to approach unto Him, in order to be united with Him. She's got to unite first of all with the Word in order to unite with Him in the marriage supper. See? Now, notice also, Mark the 13th chapter. I just want to trace this through and show you it is the church. And how God looks down upon this church. 13th chapter of the book of John. We begin at verse 24. Matthew 13. Another parable put he forth on them, saying, The kingdom of heaven. Now notice what we're talking about. The kingdom of heaven. Now, out of this comes just about a filthy a connotation as you want to get. And he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. Not Joe's pool room. Or some filthy politician trying to set up a utopia. Now, It's likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said, An enemy has done this. The servants said then, giving their little thought on the subject and how to correct it, Wilt thou then we go hither and gather them up? And he said, By no means. Lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both wheat and tares, let both grow until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I'll say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. Now, the binding is to the end that they may be burned, though they will not be burnt at the time that they're bound. But gather the wheat in my barn. All right? Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, that grain of mustard, remember, like that faith, the original revealed word, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds, and that's always a dirty connotation, foul birds, of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. A worldwide system of Christianity full of rotten, foul doctrine. You can't get away with it. And another parable. You'd think that was enough. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a woman, it's likened unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, this is exactly why Brother Branham had the vision of the woman who was his mother but wasn't his mother, of the man who was his father but wasn't his father, because he was born in it. The whole system from center to circumference at the end time is absolutely such a mess that Jesus has got to, that he's got to put in his word, except I send Elijah, I will come and destroy utterly the whole bunch from center to circumference. And what is it? It is a spiritual filthiness. It's not a physical filthiness. Although, look, there's always going to be that group around too. But remember, the emphasis is on the spiritual filthiness, because here's where the peril lies. Keep that in mind. You follow me? Okay. Revelation, the 18th chapter. 1 to 5. And after these things I saw another angel come down heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, Babylon, the great is fallen, and become the habitation of devils. Now notice, he didn't say it was fallen, and has been wiped off the map. It's a spiritual falling. See? Why? Because it is the habitation. It's not that it's been destroyed and annihilated. It's still existing. But it fell from something. See, everything falls from something. You can't fall unless, first of all, you had a foundation, or you always were in the state of falling. Right? Okay. And if the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, spiritual denominationalization of the self. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people. They're right in there. See? And the peril is that people at the end time don't even know they're part of this Antichrist system unless they get out. See? Now, you just can't change that if you try. Notice, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues, great tribulation. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Now remember that word remember in there doesn't mean that God closed his eyes and went to sleep and suddenly said, Hey, I remember something I forgot. No, it means it's time for judgment. Every time you see that word remember, you find right in there God's going to do something about the situation that has now come to the place that demands something be done about a situation. Now, it's the world church system that demands that God acts. And he's showing us how the church got into this system. Let's go to Jeremiah, the 3rd chapter, and also see what he says about it. This is a very rough one right over here. Jeremiah, the 3rd chapter. All right, just a couple verses, maybe the first two. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man, shall he return unto her again? Shall not the land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Why? Because at the end time, God's got a group that won't die. See? Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lying with. In the ways thou hast sat for them as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. You think for 1 minute that you can get a man to be ashamed of his organization, he's happy and proud of it. They're absolutely enamored by what's going on, because now it seems that God has vindicated these organizations by the presence of His power amongst them. That's right. They're proud because they feel vindicated because they've got the charismatic. Oh, that's a beautiful word. The charismatic manifestation. And some say the charismatic manifestation in depth. Oh, brother. Pulpit or pulput. Yeah, pity. Now, just talking to myself. Thinking out loud. Now that we see so many scriptures that point to the fact that this is the church, we cannot but agree that it is the church system of Christianity, because that's what the Bible deals with. It's the church system of Christianity that will lead the world into universal worship by an antichrist system. For Satan has deceived them into thinking that they are actually worshiping God and are approved of Him. See, they're fooled. They really believe that they're approved. They say, fine, it's just wonderful, and we're doing great things. Right today, you could go over there to Russia. As they tell me, Dr. Guggenbue was telling me that the scientists, the physicists are going to Russia, and they say there's a real dynamic revival of religion going on amongst the people over there. Well now, how dynamic is it if they don't know the truth? See, what good is it if they don't know the truth? They'll never be in the first resurrection. See, because they can't be in the bride apart from what is set forth as the truth. Now, the story is told of a lady and her husband. They were both doctors, and they were working in their apartment one day, and the lady said to her husband, she said, you know, the communist, the head of our party tells us there is no God. He said, that's exactly right. That's the way they say it. That's how we believe it. She said, well, it's very strange if there's no God to create things. How is it that all these wonderful things have been made? Now, he said, shut up. The place might be bugged. We've got good salaries. We're respected. So lay off it. And she said, well, I don't know that I can do that exactly, because she said, just take my thumb now. Now, what is the rest of my hand without that thumb? See how it works, and it does things so beautifully. I grasp, and she told the things that it did. And he said, look, he said, there's nothing. Then she said, nothing made my thumb. Then I'll worship nothing. Now, you see, this sounds good, and people's heart rejoice that men are being turned toward God. But what if it's the God of their imagination, not the God of truth? What if they're worshipped by precepts and theory and not by revealed truth? See? This is the thing that stumbles the average man. This is the thing that stumbles a church. This is the thing that stumbles everybody, and they are not willing to believe that it must be according to truth. Just what Jesus said to the woman at the well. Now then, because we have this in our minds, and I know we can see clearly here from Scripture exactly that this is a church in an apostate condition, we're ready to look at those words over here in the book of 2 Thessalonians, and we'll start with the word deceivableness. Now, this comes from the word deceit or deception, some kind of deceit. And if you look it up in the Greek, you'll find the root meaning is delusion, because a deceived person is a deluded person. Now, delusion means to believe something that is contrary to reality and thereby be deceived. Let's listen again. Delusion means to believe, not do, but believe something that is contrary to reality, and thereby the person is deceived. Now, delusion is a bad thing, but there are degrees of delusion. You can be fooled by
various things that come your way, like a little deal that someone may sell you on a house or a car or something, and that's bad. But that's not half as bad as you being deceived that non-edible mushrooms are edible, eat the mushrooms and die. You can lose your house, that's bad, but that's not too bad. But when you're dead, that finishes it. Now, at the end time, there is a delusion that brings the church to its death. This end time deception in the church, if we enter it, there is no recovery, because the Bible said if you take the mark of the beast and you worship, you will go to the lake of fire and be eternally lost. The church will perish just like Egypt perished when God called Israel out of Egypt. In the 4th and 5th verses of chapter 18, Revelation, which I read, the Bible says, "Come out of her, my people, and be not partaker of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquity." In other words, God is now going to destroy spiritual Egypt because of their sins. And he says, "Come out of her, my people." Again, in the 6th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it tells you it'll be too late if you turn down the end time revelation. In verses 4 and 6 it says, "It is impossible for those who were once for all enlightened." And notice what happens with this enlightenment. Not in any other age does this occur, but in the end time age. They taste the heavenly gift. They partake of the Holy Ghost. They taste the good word of God. They taste the power of the world to come. And they still fall away. Not if they shall fall away. It says, having fallen away. You can have every bit of this and not be saved. You can have every bit of this and be in the Antichrist church system and be as lost can be. You can have this and operate in this realm apart from the revealed word of Almighty God. Which revealed word brings this to pass? But turning down the source of reality, you die in the system. Remember, it's the enlightenment that brings this. Remember, until Brother Branham came on the scene, this was not here. After he came on the scene, it was here. But to turn down the word, the enlightenment, Paul says, you are not even saved. In other words, they could come up with the white throne judgment and be condemned to the lake of fire, according to Matthew chapter 24. Now listen, it will be too late then to learn the truth. It is then death. The last plague in Egypt was death. So will it now be spiritual death. The church and all systems go to their death. And the sacrifice that they believed in is to no avail. See? Everybody's talking about a sacrifice. They're putting their hopes upon a blood covenant. But remember, that covenant is annulled when they turn down the word. Now, if we had time, we could go back to the book of Isaiah here. And let me see, maybe it's chapter 28, somewhere in that realm. Let me just check it. Isaiah. Now, in 28, it says, "Because you said we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at an agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus said the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation." Now, it tells you in the book of Peter that this foundation stone is the Word. See? And there is no covenant of God unless there is a merging of the minds. There is no covenant and no agreement in this earth unless there comes a merging of the minds. Then how can you have a covenant whereby you take take within yourself the ability to get the value out of this covenant unless there's a merging of the mind? The covenant is null and void, and therefore the purchase will not obtain. See, he said, "I've annulled it." On every hand you can see by the word of Almighty God that he said here in verse 18, "Your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. And when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, you will go down with it." He tells you right there. You can claim all you want about a blood sacrifice, and you can claim all you want about a rebirth, and you can claim all you want about a power ministry. It says right here, it's annulled on the grounds that you've turned down the stone, which is a stone of offense, which is that word. Just what it says in the book of Hebrews. They came out of Egypt. They went through into the desert. They went through the Red Sea. Their clothes did not wear out. Their shoes did not wear out. Nobody got sick. Everything was wonderful. They ate the heavenly food. And remember, they loathed it. They liked everything else but that. Now, what happened? The covenant by blood which took them out did not take them in because the word preached was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Or in other words, they turned down the word, but they grabbed everything else. It's going to happen again. See, now listen. I said it'll be too late then. See, all systems will go to the dead. The sacrifice in Egypt availed nothing other than great wonders. That's all it availed. Now, listen. The original deception brought death, just like the last deception brings death. Now, what was that original deception? Eve was deceived in the Garden of Eden. Now, let's look at that, because this is where we go to check out deception. Because we're talking about the deceivableness of unrighteousness that caused people to come into this system and love it and swear by it and praise it, act within it, and still die. Okay. Now, what about Eve? She believes something that's contrary to truth. That's exactly what. Because that's what delusion is. Deception. To believe something contrary to truth. Now notice, please. This woman is not possessed by a devil. See, I know when you talk about Antichrist and you talk about those devils, everybody's got an idea that it means everybody but them. And as long as they think that they know a little bit of word and they claim that they've got the Holy Ghost and they've got a little bit of manifestation and they live a little better life, they say, well, hallelujah, I'm saved by the blood, my faith in Jesus Christ, everything is just A1. Now listen, remember, original deception went back to Eve, the woman who types the church, typing all of it, bride and all, right? All right, now let's take a picture of her. Is she possessed by a devil? No, she is not possessed by a devil. So wipe that out of your mind. Is she some mentally broken down creature? No, she is not. She has each of her senses, so wipe that out. Is she some retarded creature or some sub-creation that needs a further evolvement? No, she's at the peak. So wipe that out of your mind. She's perfect. She's a fine, wonderful person. Very reasonable. Very unassuming. This is why Brother Branham could teach, I do not hate the people, I love them, but I hate the system. It's not the people, it's a system. See? You can't put your finger on Eve. You put your finger on Eve at the time of her deception, you prove what you got in your mind. You don't even know this message. You just sit here and think you do. So a Brother Brown said they'll all go crazy before it's over. Sure they will. Before it's over. We're not talking about being over. We're talking about the trap. See? For the two spirits are so close that except for a depth and revelation given to the elect, all but the very elect would be deceived. In other words, if this thing is so absolutely close at the end time, except for the grace of Almighty God through His foreknowledge, which brings about a predestination, there wouldn't be one person getting it. That's how close it is. Now you show me, if you don't get it, let me ask you this question. Where did Brother Branham get the anger of the people instead of the priest? By the fact of the interpretation of the word. Okay? So let's keep it in mind. She is a fine, wonderful person, very reasonable, very unassuming. But in spite of that, she is deceived, which means that her believing is wrong. See, that lady is deceived. You know, she thinks that color's pink. Oh boy, she's got to be colorblind. It's green. Oh no, that's not it at all. It's her believing in spiritual matters that condemns her. It's her believing of that word at the end time. Fine, lovely person. Oh, yes, don't you ever think other than that. See? Her believing is wrong. This is the starting place of the whole problem of death. The whole problem of death starts right here. Wrong believing. Now, never mind what she did. Everybody gets involved there. But never mind what she did. because that has nothing to do with it at this point. What she did is the consequence of her believing, of being deceived. If her believing had been right, she would never have gone wrong. She never would have sinned, or in other words, nothing would have come into the opening, to the open, see? Now, what she did was an attribute or manifestation or outcome of her mental attitude toward the truth, which is the Word of God revealed. See? The serpent said she would not die if she partook of the forbidden fruit. Eve believed the word of the serpent. She believed the devil's interpretation. She disbelieved the word of God. That is deception. Do you get it? Deception is disbelieving the word of God. Deception is being taken in by something other than that word. Deception is placing your life in the hands of something other than the revealed word. See? That's where she got fooled. Now, listen and try to get this. In all history, there never was nor could there ever be another lie greater than this one. There never could be a greater lie than this one. People think different, but they're wrong. Because it caused the fall of the entire race of the born ones of God. Right. Those living seeds which were in him before the foundation of the world, every one of them coming to birth was death doomed by this deception. Still holds. There is no lie or deception like this one. And remember, the lie is to repeat at the end time. It will deceive every single person unless God does something to prevent it. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Doesn't say the devil sends delusion. It says God will send delusion. It says God will blind their eyes. Just like in the days of Elisha when the Syrians were blinded. With their eyes wide open, they looked at it and couldn't see it. And went right to the trap where they could have been absolutely destroyed, but it wasn't the time. Later on, they were destroyed. See? Matthew 24:24. Notice what it says there. Tremendous scripture in the light of what we're learning. For there shall arise false Christ, even lying prophets. You say, why do you change that word from and to even? Because of the Greek cake can also be translated even, and in this case it should be. Because Brother Branham said the false Christ and lying prophets run the same thing. And shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive. They shall make the very elect of God believe that which is contrary to truth. But it can't be done. So everybody else believes that which is contrary to truth. And how can you worship God acceptably without the truth? Remember what Brother Branham said, just like the devil's gotten those Jews back there, and they said, we're going to worship anyway, bless God. And they killed the very fount or source of all worship. Going to do the same thing right today. Now, deception brought the fall. Or in other words, as the first deception brought the original fall, they brought the fall. So the last lie seals all the fallen ones into the harvest of death. There'll be nobody make that first resurrection outside of the bride. And then the 144,000 don't die. They go into the millennium. Nobody else. There's nobody else can make it. They'll wait for the second resurrection. Notice also, this worship of Satan, wherein people think they are reaching God, comes to us in a certain way. 2 Thessalonians again. Check it out. Second chapter, verses 9 and 10. Whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders? Tells you right there. Manifestation, manifestation, manifestation. And there has never been manifestation, brother, sister, outside of the bride until this end time. You check your history. The churches did not have manifestation except under a real anointing. But now at the end time, you are going to have manifestation. You just can't believe it. Brother Branham said after he was gone, you watch these false anointed rise up. And brother, you look at them. The funny thing is, they're all riding on his coattail. And I can't figure that because the last man's coattail I'd want to ride on is William Branham because he was the biggest flop of the works. You know why? Because you all hate him. And then why join up with a fellow you hate? You know what? Because he was the pinnacle that God used for power, and because they depend upon power and not the revealed word, they've got to associate themselves with him. You talk about a mixed up mess, confusion, and all the elect being deceived. We're in it right now because you throw your hands at, oh, what's going on? And if you didn't have the Holy Ghost and know these things, you what would you do? You'd almost walk off and say, forget it. Drive you crazy. See, you can see, you know that. Now listen, it says here, yeah, they're going to have this power. And then it says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, it tells you right here that Satan works in a certain pattern. Now, what was that pattern? To get the real gist of it, you got to go back to the Garden of Eden. What did Satan do to destroy Eve? He took a smart and beautiful, sensuous, subtle creature to turn Eve from the truth to reasoning. Right. The rottenest act in all history, the most deceitful and unrighteous act in all the world that took place in the Garden of Eden is repeating at the end time. Woman, which represents the church, now listen, was deceived by brilliant wisdom. Remember, the last face before the eagle, which is turned down, is the face of a man signifying wisdom. Remember, man is the most cunning of all. There was only one beast that could out-cunning the cunning man, and that was a serpent. And now the serpent and man is mixed. So you've got a tremendous mixture of animal and man. See? Right where we are today. Now, woman, which represents the church, was deceived by brilliant wisdom. Now listen. And was made to believe that life, eternal life, can come apart from the seed of eternal life, which is the Word. God said, you believe me and live. If you don't, you'll die. And she believed that she could have eternal life apart from the seed of eternal life, which is the Word. Now get that, because that's what the prophet taught. You can talk all you want about eternal life, but if you don't go word by this message, you have got something wrong with you. And the whoring womb will bring death. You getting your picture? Remember, the prophet said, if you want to know something, go back to Genesis. Find out what it says there. You'll look at the back of the book. Don't look at the middle of the book. You start at the first and go to the back by the middle. Now, there's no such thing as a stick having two ends unless it's got a middle. Don't get this Bible until you go to the beginning of the stick and then you go to the end of the stick. You ever walk up and down a teeter-totter for fun? Lucky thing is something in the middle to hold you. You walk up from the one end to you walk down the other end. But what it is, you're walking in the whole thing. Now, if you want to be in the truth, you've got to go back to the beginning to see what the end is, because remember, Alpha is Omega. That's why Revelation is Genesis. Everything in Revelation is right back there. Brother Branham said concerning the seventh seal, and I haven't taken time yet to do it, and maybe I'll finally get the ambition. If I get inspired, something's got to happen, because I have no ambition. But he said that seventh seal was in Genesis. Then if it's in Genesis, it's in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, right to Revelation. See? Not just one seal, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But the seventh seal there. And now, looking at that original book, the book of Genesis or Beginnings, she thought that she could have eternal life apart from that Word. Now, where does that leave you? Look, brother, sister, in spite of the fact that God slew an animal and prolonged their life, they still died. And you don't talk about knowing God through a sacrifice and saying, I was born again, hallelujah, I believe in the blood. You can't do it. Now, for the sake of everybody, I'd like to say they can. I'd like to say with Paul, I could wish myself a curse for my brethren's sake. I don't believe you can be truly born again and not absolutely wish that you could go to hell and then be annihilated if it would do a bunch of people some good. But it won't work! There isn't anything going to work outside of that Word. Because you see, it shows it in the Bible here. And look, God can't change. Eve was wrong. She was seduced. That's where she was deceived. She thought that eternal life was hers apart from the Word. She left the Word. Notice, she had to cast aside the Word first before she could sin. Brother Bram said it. Well, that's true. You know that as well as I do. Only then she could sin. Isn't that exactly what happened? And we know will happen again according to 2 Corinthians 2, 11, 2 to 3. He said, you are a chaste virgin just like Eve, but I'm afraid that you are going to be beguiled. And that word in the Hebrew is absolutely physical, moral, spiritual, mental. You're going to lose it all. See? Now, let's prove it to be the truth. Acts 20. If I preach long enough, you won't have to come back tonight. Yeah, well, I don't mind. I don't mean I'll stay that long, but but if we take too long this morning, I'll let you go for the rest of the day. Let's look at it. Acts 20. 25. Paul said, now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, same thing. Sowing of the seed, planting tares, see, casting net, trees. Now, you shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day, make a record, that I am pure from the blood of all men. Why? Because I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. In other words, God's sitting there advising you and telling you, as a good lawyer, as a good advocate, exactly what you've got to do to make it. And Paul said, I have been an ambassador to this very dictum of Almighty God, which will put you there. That's how you're free from the blood of all men. Sticking with the Word. Otherwise, don't you see you're guilty of the blood of men? You follow me? I hope you're getting this. May God help us to see it. Because Brother Branham said the simplicity is going to go over our heads. It's just too simple. See? You know, everything is based upon law. Everything is based upon Word. See? Now, this Paul is giving forth the wisdom of Almighty God. And this is going to get us free from our blood. And the blood of anybody else. If we have the revealed Word, we are now free from the blood of all men. That's why Moses was free. See, giving that Word. Notice now, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God. How do you feed? You feed by Word, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Christ is the blood of God. Jesus Christ. Now, He purchased the whole world. But how many are going to make it? They can't make it by the blood unless they have the Word. See? No, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves. Jesus described them. They're wolves in sheep clothing. They act like it. They look like it. They pretend they are. They enter in among you, not sparing the flock. See? Also, of your own selves shall men arise. Who is he talking to? Elders, not the pastor, not the teachers, not the evangelists, not the apostles, not the prophets, but the elders. People who want to preach and don't have a true calling, but they've got a good life that's consistent, so they're allowed to preach. And remember, the elder must be apt to teach. And what are they going to do? They're going to arise and speak perverse things. Perverted things. They're going to take the Word and twist it and change it and put another meaning upon it. And what are they going to do? They're going to draw away disciples after themselves. There's only one way that you and I can be a true disciple of Christ, and that's to follow, believe in the revealed Word of God. You see? It's dangerous to be in the pulpit. I wish I could get out of it. But I trust God that I'll say the right thing. I pray in my heart I'll say the right thing. And if I do say the wrong thing, He'll correct me and I got to come back and tell you. See, why? Because I don't want you following me. If you try to follow me, I'll take a 10-foot tube of oil and knock your block off, because that's what you deserve. Don't you dare follow a man. If you've got some kind of spirit on you, say, this guy, that guy, you're as phony as a $3 bill. Smart enough. Stay with the Word. Don't make a personality color issues. See, I'm not even a William Branham. I'm of the Word. He was a eunuch. Sure. He was Eliezer. He's not my bridegroom. Oh, some of you deity guys, if you're here, you may think so, but you, go ahead and have it that way. Don't ask me to do it. God doesn't send a man like the Apostle Paul and these prophets to make love to you and then find yourself. He sends them on the errand of bringing a bride.
See?
That's what Paul says here. You're perverted. Don't listen to perverted things or you'll be perverted. See, remember, it was the true seed word of God in Adam and Eve. Now, Eve was the one that fell. But when that other word got mixed, it brought forth a Cain. See? Now, we don't fool the word of God. See? Of your own selves, men arise, speaking perverted things and draw away disciples after themselves. Why does anybody want to change this word? There's only one reason a man wouldn't stand with Brother Branham 100% with every word he said was to get his own following. You show me where Brother Branham ever invited a man to go to his church even. Didn't do it. You take the man, analyze him point by point. He was absolutely a dedicated servant of God, a real eunuch in the sight of God. He had no seed of his own to sow. He brought the word of God to the bride, and they're planting that seed. He'll be able to present her to Christ. The very thing that Paul did, he did. We believe that. See? Now listen. Watch carefully. In the garden, Eve thought that she could have God. Now listen. She thought that she could have God and faith in God and unbelief in His Word at the same time. Right? And she died for it. That's a statement we ought to memorize. Not because I say it, because it's the truth. She absolutely thought that she could have God and faith in God at the same time that she had unbelief in His Word. And that's exactly what they're doing today. And listen, that's the deception. You get the picture. That's the deception. See? You follow me? I'm taking this as carefully as I can and going over and over many angles I can to show you this is the deception. This is where the fooling is. The gifts and the miracles and all the rest would be fine. They'd be wonderful. It'd be marvelous to have the altar call. It'd be great to have worship. It'd be great to have it all. But they're lost because they missed this point. Here's where they're deceived. They're not deceived in the other place. You follow me? Not deceived because they go to the altar and get cleaned up and have some kind of experience. They're not deceived there. It's here they're deceived. You getting it? Otherwise, why did Brother Branham come? Look, Brother Branham's one of the most loving men I've met in my life. But I want to tell you something. I've met other loving men. He had the great power for this day, yet I've seen other men with great power. He was dedicated, but I've seen other men dedicated. But there's nobody had the revealed word outside of William Branham. I feel real good there, though, shouting. I better spare my throat. You can shout for me. And they will do it again, for thus it is written, and thus they will die because God and unbelief in the revealed word of the day cannot go together. Why? Because he said, you've fallen, you've departed. Now isn't that the truth? Then if you've departed or you've fallen, you're not going together. Right? Man, it's getting so clear to me, I'm ready to just start to preaching. Because I like these clear things, these muddy things you got to, you know, sort of snoop around 15 different angles. I preach them that way too sometimes, but that's hard. Listen, here's what Jesus said in John 15, verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. That's the Laodicean church age. And if you're going to go to him for a garment, which he said you got to go, then you've got to have the word. God speaking to you. Not a man anymore. But God. See? Pillar of fire. All right, John 9, 41. Okay, listen. Here's where the blind man got healed, remember? Jesus said, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore your sin remaineth. Let any man come against the word of God, revealed in its day, to contradict it. He says, I'm seeing. The Bible says you're blind and your sin remains. If you'd even just say, look, I don't understand it. But I'm too smart to go against it. You have hopes in the second resurrection. But the minute you add one word or take away, you have hurt yourself, perhaps not irrevocably, because the Bible says if you add, you'll have the plagues. But if you take away, your name goes out of the book. So I'm not going to try to twist the Word of God. I just say the way it said it. There must be degrees in here somewhere. But, brother, sister, the evidence is absolutely perfect the way the prophet taught it. The minute this age says we see, there is no more sacrifice because the sin remains. What's a sacrifice to do? Take away sin. Christ died to absolutely divorce sin from us so that iniquity could not be imputed to us. See? All right. Notice the next word. Now, that's your deceit. Notice the next word, unrighteousness. Now, listen to what we have to watch when we contemplate this word. The word unrighteousness seems so strong and harsh that we instantly spell it out as stealing, assaulting, lying, killing, hard, bare sin. Not so. Huh. These acts of killing, marauding, mugging, robbing, they don't deceive anybody. People run from that kind, but the Bible says they run into this kind. They don't run from it. They run to it because why, they love it. It's a part of them. There's nothing there to make them fear. See, follow me? This unrighteousness is not what the human mind calls unrighteousness. It's tricky. Because you don't run from it, you run into it. See? This is not the bellow of rage by a charging bull, but the soft voice of seduction that promises life, love, and beauty while it injects the poison of death. Satan, see? It is a trap to lure the church to her death by making her feel that God is going to fulfill His word to her while she takes the pathway of perversion. That's exactly what happened to Eve. You can't put a finger on him. See? The trap to lure the church to its death by making her feel that God is going to fulfill His word of promise to her while she takes the pathway of perversion. That's exactly what took place in the garden. Notice what Eve did. She acted to bring life. Now listen carefully. She acted to bring life, which was according to a promise of God, but which action of how to do it was not according to the revelation of God. For she was given to Adam to reproduce himself. Let's go to Genesis, the second chapter, and we'll get a little picture there. 18 to 20. And God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him singular and help meet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he'd call them. Whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Remember, they were all made in pairs. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to all fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. Now, they were given to multiply and to reproduce themselves so they could have an image. Now, Eve was given to Adam for the very same thing. See? But how, and she was supposed to reproduce with him in order to bring forth children. Now, that was the command of God, which, as Brother Branham said, to obey the command of God should have brought life, but behold, it brought death. Now, why did it bring death? Because she didn't act within the framework of the word of how to do it. Now, let's prove it. We'll go to Genesis, the third chapter, verses 14 to 19. And herein you'll find the penalties. God penalizing. 14 to 19. Oh, wrong chapter. Get the third chapter here. Lord God said to the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt eat all the days of thy life. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman." Now notice, between thy seed and her seed. Now how do you get seed? "It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. See, church member listening to what your spiritual head tells you instead of the Word of God? Going to happen to you? See, which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou live it all the days of life. Thorns and thistles also to bring forth, and so on. Now listen, you notice what he said to the woman? He said to the woman, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Now listen, if you don't understand and see that this woman had a wrong sect act to bring forth children, instead of doing it the way God wanted to do it, which was a spiritual way, then you're saying to me this morning, if I put my hand in the meat grinder, my toes will fall off. You're saying if I pour sulfuric acid in my mouth, I'll go blind. You're saying if someone pokes my eyes out, I won't hear anymore. Because you have got to suit the penalty to where the adverse action took place. And there's only one way that children are born, and that's through sex. And so therefore, he cursed that, and that's how it came. Anybody knows that. She eats a tree. So he said, well, I'll fix the conception up. You'll be multiplied and have a lot of trouble. Oh, my God, have pity. What if she ate roast beef? What'd he done to her? See? How ridiculous can people get? She evidently went right ahead to see the promise of God given to her was fulfilled to bring forth unto Adam. The penalty proves that she worked outside the framework. Now what we're saying is this, obeying in a wrong manner because of unbelief brought death. See? Now, let's prove what I said. Genesis, the first chapter, 26 and 27. Now, I'll read 26. And the Lord God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man, singular, in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them in one spiritual entity, Adam. And God blessed them, one spiritual creation, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. But when he put them in a body, he said, prune the earth. Take care of the earth. It was while they were one spiritual creation, they were told to multiply. So therefore the multiplication was not to be by the flesh, but by the Spirit together through the power of God vested in them. They would act together, but not sexually, even though they had the physical means to do it. Women preachers can be more dedicated than men, more spiritually anointed, more alert, more everything, and go to hell and the whole congregation with them, preaching the Word of God. Sure, God said you can't preach. I don't care how good she is. Oh, sure. Little lady they tend to talk. Now, whether this news reporter defamed this little lady that has this great healing meeting, I don't know or not. She's got the biggest in the world, I guess. Businessmen are all flocking after anyway. Oh, my, does that sound good for them? Do you know what she said in Toronto? At least she's supposed to have said. She said the men wouldn't do it, so God had to call her. That's the businessmen said, too, one time. They said the preachers wouldn't do it, so we got to do it. You bunch. Don't think these people that follow Brother Branham, don't think they're not in our midst, too. They'd tell every ordained five-fold ministry brother to shut his mouth up, while their mouth reminds me of one of those revolving doors caught in a whirlwind. Some even go around kind of squealing like a cat with a funny light crosses their face. I'm not trying to run anybody down. Let's face this thing. Come on, bring it out in the open. What's the matter? You think Paul would stand back with that kind of hogwash? Too many people got hoof and mouth disease. Instead of a touch of Almighty God by the revealed Word. Started back there in the garden. Sure you can bring forth life. She brought it. She proved it. God didn't want it that way. God's way was by the Spirit. together by the Holy Ghost that had brought children out of the ground. Now God has to kill them, put them back in the ground, and He'll bring them out of the ground. You know that's the truth. And those that stand here and have their bodies changed, He won't tolerate the kingdom of God. Why? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And the Son of God isn't flesh and blood. Then if you begin to procreate by flesh and blood, then you got flesh and blood. See? Now listen. They had the physical means to do it that way. Exactly what the church has been doing through the ages and is doing right now. Bringing forth children unto themselves and not to Christ the Word. They are giving birth by corruptible seed to the corrupted children. That's why God cursed Cain. Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, proving you can come either way. That's why at this end time and through the ages, you can see these fine, beautiful people that almost are perfect identification through the Word, but they miss the revelation and they're lost. See? True. Religious or spiritual experience outside of the revealed Word will fail. See? You say, look at the experience we got today. You say, is it all going to fail? It's got to fail, brother, sister, or this book is a lie. Now, in the beginning, when they were one in spirit, the command was given. So the promise of life is spiritual, not physical. Oh, how we love our big churches. And say, oh, we got our altar calls. And oh, the people. You know that's the biggest lie in the world. You know what brings your churches full of people? Sunday school. You want a big church? Get a Sunday school. Get your buses out. Bring the kids in. Drag them up through the process of Sunday school until they believe just what you believe. They'll get an experience, so-called. Sure, a little Danny will be a sweet little boy. And Johnny will be a sweet little boy. Sure, you can get them at the altar. And make them a twofold child of hell worse than you. Every single person knows, if he knows anything about spiritual things, that the minute any church becomes top-heavy with Sunday school, it's already backslidden. You show me then a group that's not backslidden. Challenge. You go down the street here and you'll see all the buses all lined up around the place bringing in the kids. Oh, my. You want a bunch of gum-chewing, gum-throwing. You go ahead and have them. Sunday school's okay if you do it right. Yeah, I got a couple of babysitters take care while the others are in class listening. See, you got to stay with the Word. God doesn't save people by a little illustration here and illustration there. He saves them by the Word. See, it's the Word that brings the life, because that's where the life is. And if they don't have that Word, and they got something perverted, then they're under cursed children. Because that's what Cain was. See? Now, notice. What God wants done must be done in God's own way. Church order. God didn't say throw the gifts out. He said put them in order. Where did Brother Branham say throw anything? He said all that's good you keep. Isn't that what the Bible says? The man had the net. He threw out the bad and kept the good. We don't throw away justification, sanctification, and those things. But you've got to put them through the test. And then if the day is there that they have ceased, you stay with what hasn't ceased, but what's the fresh manna? How many put their church in order? They should. Now, I'm going to repeat a bit what I said Wednesday night. Let's see exactly this unrighteous thing we're talking about, where deception comes. That people are running into. They want it. They love it. 1 John, the 3rd chapter. We're doing pretty good. We've got another hour and a half to go, and we'll be about finished. Just wants you to walk out. 1 John 3rd chapter. Well, I could just have the mic turned up and catch you down the street a block. 1 John 3rd chapter, verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. Now, right here is the Garden of Eden. Deception. See? He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, Jesus, is righteous. Now it says, he that commits sin is of the devil. All right? That's our picture. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. What beginning? This beginning, what we're talking about, has to do with man and unrighteousness. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might undo the works of the devil, that he may get us right out of this miserable mess we're in. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Tells you right here, if you're born of God, there's something you will not do. You can't, and you won't do it because you can't do it. I like that. I won't do it because I can't do it. See? In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God either. He that loveth not his brother. In other words, it shows you, if you don't have this, you cannot even love your brother. Oh, you say you do. You may make a good stab at it, so to speak, but it's feigned love. It's not the real McCoy. No, I don't care what anybody says. Now listen, verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from Genesis. What's the only beginning we got that we know anything about? He said, where were you when I formed all this star and by the stardust and all? He said, where were you? He said, forget it. I wasn't anywhere. Just keep talking. Now he illustrates. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And why did he kill him? Because his own works were unrighteous. That's what it is, evil, unrighteous. And his brother's were righteous. In other words, Cain did an unrighteous thing and Abel did a righteous thing. And then because it was righteous, God approved it, and the other was disapproved because it was unrighteous, and then Cain got mad and killed his brother. He slew him because he had done an unrighteous thing. The killing was not unrighteous. It was the thing that he did was unrighteous that led to the hating and the killing. Now let's find it. Genesis 4. Okay? Genesis 4. Second verse. Cain had tilled the soil. Abel kept the sheep. In process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering. He began to worship God. And Abel also worshiped God, and he brought the offering of the flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his worship, but unto Cain and his worship he had no respect at all. He said, forget it. I won't take it. You're not worshiping me at all? And Cain was very angry. And oh boy, did they get mad when you tell them that. You talk about the way Brother Brand said that toad swelled up, what is it? Anyway, he puffed up. I'll just change my language, he puffed up. There ain't nothing to what these people go through. And the Lord said, why, man? He said, why do you take that as an affront? Why are you insulted? Now listen, the King James Version here does not do the justice to what's in this actual verse. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. None of thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. That is not the real meaning. Now, I'll tell you frankly, I can prove it to you. The Septuagint says this. Thou hast offered right to Cain. Did he? He sure did. The first fruits is an offering unto God, and you cannot worship God unless you are first fruit. And unless you understand the resurrection or part of it, you don't have a part in it. So when he gave the first fruit offering, the offering itself was absolutely right. He offered right. Now what does God say? Yet thou hast not rightly divided. Hast thou not sinned? Let's prove that's right. 2 Timothy 2:15. See, the whole Bible's got a bear out. If I make a statement and can't prove it by one or two places in the Bible, then you don't listen to me. Because I'm not a prophet. See, not that I want to be. Don't ever think I do. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Why? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Supposing I don't divide that word right, then I'm disapproved, I'm ashamed. Now you argue with God. Don't argue with me. I'm not about to argue. And all you know what you'll find? God won't argue either. He wouldn't argue with Cain. He said, you offered, right? Sure. Your tongues you spoken was good. Sure. No problem. You prayed the sick, no problem. No. You had a passion for souls, no problem. You didn't divide that word, problem. Can't have you. Won't take you. See? Let me go further. Hebrews 11. Don't look it up, you don't need to. Verse 4. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Then Cain's sacrifice was excellent, or Abel's could not be more excellent. What was the unrighteous thing that Cain did? He attempted to worship God apart from the correct revelation of the Word of God, and his faith was not only vain but reprobate. Then he turned to murder his brother. Had his brother said, "Cain, buddy, I'm with you on that word," he said, "Shake. Take you right down by a double vanilla, throw a couple cherries on top, and a chocolate dip." Sure. Sure, any day they'll do it every night. "Shake my hand, join my church, glory to God, you're one of us." "Not me, buddy." Abel said, "Look. The sacrifice by blood is first. Because no matter what you do with God, it stays within the framework of the Word or God rejects it." And Cain says, "Then I'll get rid of God. I'll kill you. Then he can accept me or else." And that's what denominations do. They're out to exterminate. They propagate apart from the Word of God and bring forth their bastards and claim their children. But as Brother Branham said, "Brother Neville, wait until we teach on the gifts and set the church in order, and then we'll know if it's a bastard child or not." He said it, I didn't, but I'm going to repeat it, because I think anything he said is worth repeating. Without the right division of the Word, our faith is vain, it is reprobate, no matter how hard we believe. For Jesus said, "In vain do you worship me, having for doctrine the commandments of men." Or as Brother Branham said, Jesus came according to the Word, but not according to their interpretation of the Word, and it's happening again. It was not their doing that he condemned, but their believing. Once they had turned down the word of the hour, they were lost. No matter what they did, they would perish. Let them repent all they want. I kind of lashed out on that last Wednesday. I'm going to hit it again. I don't care what person tries to tell you repentance is other than what the Bible said. You better shy clear. I don't care if he comes here in the sweetest 48 hours out of 24 is. I don't care how he tells you what his theory of repentance is. The Bible does not have a theory. It has a word. Repentance is to change your mind. Cain would not change his mind. Eve did change her mind. Now you can repent 100 times and keep changing your mind and changing your mind and change your mind, but unless you change your mind to the Word of God, you have not truly repented unto eternal life. You are still lost. So, Brother Vail, I sorrowed for my sins. I repented. You lie. Sorrow is not repentance. The Bible says that godly sorrow works repentance. Your sorrow is to lead you to it. Yet how many people have sorrowed because they're wrong in the Word? Like the latter rain who grab everything they can and want new revelation, they happily skip their way to damnation, coming the closest to what the world would call reality. Brother Branham himself said so, so don't worry. And yet they're the furthest off. They're not condemning anybody, because you didn't hear me mention names. I mentioned that which covered. Israel died for not believing who he was. John chapter 8 and verse 24 says this, "I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins if you believe not that I am." Not he, but I am. "You shall die in your sins." How about those that don't believe right today that Jesus is Jehovah? They simply think he's one-third of a Trinity. The human heart, with its so-called compassion, is so apt to go the wrong way. But Jesus stuck with the Word until it came to what looked like literal abuse in casting out the money changer, kicking their tables over while they screamed and scrambled and fled kayaying like whipped dogs as he applied the knotted twine to their backs. Now let's get back to 2 Thessalonians. I don't think people would call that love. Brother Branham said those old rabbis showed a lot more love than Jesus, so called. 2 Thessalonians 9 and 10. It says, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be damned. Where does all deceivableness of unrighteousness take place? In them that perish. They're dead. All deceivers. All diabolical cunning. Every trick and argument in the Bible and out of the Bible to take you away from the prophets, thus saith the Lord. Everything that anybody else can supply and your own mind can supply to take you away. All deceivableness, all diabolical cunning will take place at the end time. Perilous days. See? In them that perish. Notice, not him, singular, but them, plural. Not the Antichrist, but the people who are deceived by them. Death is in the church, and it brings forth the prince of death, and it crowns death thinking it is life. But it's not. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is right back in the church. And remember, in the beginning there was only one knowledge, and it was pure, and became perverted by a smart creature called Satan, using a beast. So at the end time, the same thing will appear. Now, why do they die? Because they receive not the love of the truth. You know, folk, if you love the truth, you might not understand it all. God knows I sure don't, and I've been trying. But if you love it, that's the thing that counts. If you love what the prophet said, if you love what the prophet did, and especially you love how he did it, because you see, there's two things. It's not got to be only what, it's got to be how. The word is not just what, it's how. And it's also where, as you can also see. You can't mishandle, you can't rest it, you can't misinterpret it. See, got to stay in the framework. Now, it's the love of that truth. Now ask yourself this question. Where did this great deceiver come from? He comes out of them, the church. See? He is one of them, the church. Now listen. Just like Judas came out of the Jews and acted like he was one with Christ. Now listen, where did Judas go to get his authority? Where do you go to get yours? Oh, they hate that. Brother Branham said, Brother Branham said, Brother Branham said. Sure, he said, he had thus saith the Lord. Think I'm going to listen to you? Oh, listen, if I could have Rockefeller's unlimited money, if you still got it, you think I'm going to worry about a guy with two bits? We say, well, he's two bits of money, sure, but who needs two bits? I've got to hand some billions. I don't care if a man raised the dead, has a great ministry. I saw a man, thus saith the Lord. I saw a man challenge him. I challenge you, bring me 24 of your worst cases. I guarantee healing. 3 billion people can't do that. So why should I leave what I know is good to get something I'm not so sure of? I could produce the same things they produce all but raising the dead. I've seen blind healed, deaf hear, and everything else, cancers healed, cripples, and everything else. I've seen all that. So I've had my two bits worth too. But my two bits had some alloy in it. My Jesus said, come for the gold, so hallelujah, here I come. Where did Judas go for his authority? See? To the organization. Our authority is in the voice of the Son of Man revealing messengers. Of which the end time was Brother Branham. The church produces the Antichrist, and he comes up out of them because they leave the Word. There could not be an Antichrist system, brothers and sisters, as much as you might think there would be, except for the end time prophet. The people themselves produce the beast because they refuse the Word which God revealed by vindication, and then they go and worship what they call God anyway. There's your beast theology. Read it yourself in Genesis, Thessalonians, Peter, Isaiah. Bible's full of it. Ezekiel's all full of it. Just like Eve and Cain, they do it their own way. Now listen, how? They take the provided Word and the provided power, and they pervert them both to their own ends. Carnal is mixed with spiritual, and thereby devoid of the Holy Ghost, because the Bible says you cannot compare spiritual and carnal, and when they do it, it proves like Judas, they don't have the Holy Ghost, because Judas acted with Caiaphas to save the nation when God wanted the nation saved, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, not by organization. So we see we are at the end time. Matthew 24:25 being fulfilled, which was false Christ, even lying prophets, showing signs and wonders, which would deceive even the very elect. But notice he said, behold, I told you before. Where did he tell them before? Matthew 7. Notice what he said in Matthew 7. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. They act like the real fivefold ministry, but they don't stay with the Word. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Now he goes from a sheep and a wolf right to a tree. And what is the fruit of the tree? There's two trees, eternal life and the knowledge of good and evil. And it says right here, a tree cannot bring forth evil fruit if it's good, and neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now remember, God never made anything corrupt. There is not one thing today in this earth that's corrupt by itself. It's what you do with it. And at the end time, they pervert the Word of God, which was vindicated to the people that it was the Word of God, and deity was identified as to who He was, and they still turned. The dog to its vomit and the sow to the wallow. Psalm 68:18. Now notice it says, thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts from men. And right there Paul stopped, and he said the fivefold ministry who use the Word of God will bring the bride to perfection. But notice in the next sentence, the great prophet said, yea, for the rebellious also he received gifts. Now the word rebellious in the Hebrew is translated to the Greek, it's apostate. And there's no apostasy until the seventh age, when the last message comes forth and they fall away. And when Brother Branham came and they turned down the word of the hour, they all got gifts. Now let's find out about gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just a little bird's eye view, because we're going fast now. I've tried to make every moment count, except when I throw a little something in between. I'm looking for Scripture. So I hope you're catching everything I'm saying. Now listen. Verse 27, you are the body of Christ and members in particular, everyone different. And God has set some members in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and he stops numbering. Or he would have had to say fourth evangelists, fifth pastors, that would have closed it. Without numbering at all, therefore giving no authority within the church at all. Right? You missed it. You said right. We go over it again. There is no such thing as authority in the church outside of the fivefold ministry, of which the pastor is the supreme authority within the local assembly. Paul said, obey those that have the rule over you who teach to you the Word of God. And the rule is in the fivefold elective ministry. Then God, in order to let the church fall, let two other men come in. elders and deacons who wanted to teach and preach and help, but their qualification was not the ordained ministry of God, but they had character qualities and abilities which would get them by. In there lies the danger, because these are the ones that stumble the church and bring her to her death. Read your Bibles.
When you read them, have a little faith. All right, listen. He doesn't number anymore because their number falls off.
Now he says, after that comes what? He said, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, governments, and so on. Now, what do? They try to rule the church by gift ministries. And a man with a gift ministry now invades the pulpit, and he says, this is my authentication that I'm called to God, and you listen. Wrong, 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 wrong.
That's Matthew 24:24.
I don't care if the pastor has one sign ever.
Although he's bound to have some true pastor.
He'll be with that word. Because that's what counts. And if that pastor is true to that word, and you are true to that word, together you will see everything in your midst that you need.
See? Now, what have they done? They've made these men with ministries those that are trying to lead the bride. Phoenix has more than his share. Of course, I don't suggest you move one up here to even them. The gifts are not even numbered.
So at the end time, the whole thing becomes one perverted body without one word correctly understood except by the bride. Therefore, there won't be any service or worship that is accepted by God except from the bride.
In vain do you worship me, having for teaching the doctrines of men. We are at the end time. It is almost too late even now.
We need to test every word we say and every thought we think and everything we do by the word which was revealed by vindication, and stick with it until every member, no matter where he is, begins to walk with God as did Enoch. The great lie has gone forth. The ecumenical move will soon produce their Messiah who will lead them to the pit.
Right.
We shall not surely die, but be changed for the rapture, is the deceived faith of millions.
Right. As Isaiah said, they're deceived.
While millions more cry out, that's your Catholics and all, see, peace is coming to earth, and the reign of God is starting, for we are all brothers. But it is all over.
The prophet said, I do not even pray for America.
The truth has been vindicated, and the people want the lie and will produce the liar
and will be destroyed by the very power of the beast that they create. There you are. Right today is so close. Don't say they're not worshiping. Don't say they're not living good lives. Don't say they're not evangelical. They are. Oh, yes. Don't tell me they don't have some of the word. They do. Don't tell me they're out there brawling, although some do live pretty punk lives. No. They just look like sheep. Sure. Yeah, just look like it. But they're wolves. Yeah. I never knew a wolf begetting anything but wolves. They tell me you can't trust the dog been bred to wolf, even generators later, something will come out. And that's that police dog. For some reason or other, he may destroy a baby or turn his own master. Yet most police dogs are beautiful, kind, sweet animals, but they can be killers. Perversion. Keep the wolf a wolf, keep the dog a dog. Keep the bride bride. There's only one way you can do, brother, sister, and that's for the Spirit of God to come into each life, and each life will know it. As he lines up with that word. Remember, it's not for you to produce. It's for you to believe and receive. And then whatever you attempt to produce, whether it be in a service or a worship, it must be with that word. God forbid, brother, sister, we open our minds to anything other than what the prophet said. I've got my library lined with books. I've got lovely brand new books sitting there, many are expensive volumes. I don't open one of them except once in a blue moon to just check a word in the Greek or see something. I want to look something out. Why?
because those books are not vindicated. Those books don't belong to my hour. I've got a prophet with a vindicated word. Let men deny he was for this day and try to give him to somebody else or denounce him. That doesn't bother me any. That's their problem, not mine. They'll fail, not I won't fail. Because, you see, the word spoke of such a man. And then when I see such a man, I know God wouldn't deceive me. So if I turn away, there's only one person trying to deceive me, and that's the devil. Remember, they raise him up because they have left the truth. Any moment of any hour, of any day, of any week, of any month, and who knows but it's this year, you will see the ecumenical forces come together. Because the Pope hinted, yea, he more than hinted, he said, it will take a force to unite. And he's the man that can force it. For all your lovely friends out here, they're nice people. The Bible calls them, without natural affection, truce breakers, heady, high-minded, traitors, lovers themselves, pleasures. They love their form of worship. To some people who say they're in this message, I'm simply a dead theologian. If you people believe that, I'd never come to your pulpit again. If you cannot be thrilled by the Word of God, but you've got a tambourine to stomp in time, if that's what you want, don't call Brother Vail. Brother Green made a terrible mistake. Because I'm not your man. If you can't be thrilled by the wine of revelation, that Word of God, you're not my kind of a disciple. Because there's only one thrill that I know now. The other didn't do any good. This is going to get me there. Why? Because of truth. The other could fall either direction, but this only goes one place, right back to the heart of God. So I feel real good now. Now I feel like we could shout. But not before. Praise the Lord. Shall we rise? Be dismissed. All right. Let's sing a little song, I Love Him, I Love Him, because we first loved Him.